Amen. I'd like to take a few minutes to teach you a song. Amen. I am not going to attempt to do anything like the singing that we've sung. This song is not going to, what I want to teach you this morning, amen, in just a few moments, is just a song that I have literally taught to thousands of people upon thousands in the United States through the years. But more important to me is I taught it in Spanish or in English to I don't know how many soldiers and how many police and how many of the rural people, what we call the people in the bush and all. We taught this song to them in English in our different open air services. And I like, how many of you here this morning speak Spanish? That's just, how many of you other can speak a few words in Spanish? Yeah, everybody, tacos, enchiladas, we all speak a few. Amen. We're just being modest this morning. Amen. But I'd like to teach you just a little simple song that has a great message. Amen. And it's a very simple thing. I have no idea where I sing. Okay. Amen. I just everything I sing in is flat in some key. Amen. But we'll sing this. Maybe y'all can pick me up. Maybe my wife always gets me started, or one of the guys on the piano get me started. You know, I'm not a self-starter. Amen. And but I'm going to try it this morning. That's why I said I'm on dangerous ground. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I'm going to sing this saying through and in English, and just to give you an idea of the words and the tune. And I want you to try to help me. There's nothing to it. Amen. And it's hallelujah, I'm walking with the King, walking with the King, walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Every day, I'm walking with the King. Hallelujah. I want to try to sing. Amen. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King, walking with the King, walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Every day, I'm walking with the King. One more time. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King, walking with the King, walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Every day, I'm walking with the King. Hallelujah, yo ando con ere, ando con ere, ando con ere. Hallelujah, yo ando con ere, cada dia yo ando con ere. All right, now, I want to explain that to you. Hallelujah is the same in over 4,000 tongues and dialects. It's the same. Hallelujah is just hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, I'm yo, walking ando, with con, the air, King Ray. Hallelujah, yo, ando, con el Ray, condo, well, like they said in Oklahoma, condo, con el Ray, condo, con el Ray. Hallelujah, yo, ando, con el Ray. Cada dia, every day, cada dia, yo ando con el Rey. How many? That's easy, isn't it? Now you can listen the first time through, amen, or you can try to help me, but I want you to try at least by the second time through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, yo ando con el Rey. Ando con ere, ando con ere. Hallelujah, yo ando con ere. Cada dia, yo ando con ere. One more time. Hallelujah, yo. Amen. Cada dia yo ando con ere. Mis amigos no me quieren porque ando con ere. Ando con ere. Ando con ere. Mis amigos no me quieren porque ando con ere. Cada dia yo ando con ere. Everybody. Hallelujah. conere, ando conere, ando conere, alleluia, yo ando conere, gardia, yo ando conere. Well, let's just praise Him while we're standing. Hallelujah. Lord, we love You and we praise You and we thank You. It's a privilege to be in Your house this morning. God, we ask You to open up every window of heaven, pour out of the Holy Ghost. Lord, to touch us and use us, stir us and mold us and make us. God, I pray for Your help, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, upon the preaching and the ministering of Your Word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to Your mighty, mighty name. Oh, Santo, hallelujah. Glory up in Him. Justice. Yeah, thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Your mighty name. Hallelujah. Why are you standing? Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Amen. Going to begin reading. Going to read the 19th verse. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. I'd like to preach to you this morning on the banner, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Said, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, shall lift up a standard against him. You may be seated. Let me read that just one more time. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When the devil comes in, we have an advocate. We have an intercessor. We have the power of God represented in the third person of the triune Godhead that's going to raise up a standard against the enemy of our soul. Hallelujah. The standard being around military has always touched me in all the ceremonies that we've been in and the troops arrayed that we've seen in Honduras, that the banner is something that is just part of the part and parcel of the military. When you see a parade going down the street, there's always that part that is the military. They've got the banners. I always get a thrill out of seeing the banners. The banners represent four things. They're not a little piece of material that is placed there to add color and variety to a gathering of the fighting forces. But first of all, a banner shows who you are. Hallelujah. We have an identity crisis many times in the church world of people not really realizing who they are. Amen. It takes more than a bumper sticker. It takes more than a lapel pin. It takes something beyond that. And the banner of the Holy Ghost, a banner, signifies who you are. Some 33, 34 years ago, when I got up from an old-fashioned altar at the age of 28, saved, amen, for the first time, my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, my sins covered by the blood of the Lamb, I knew who I was. I wasn't the same person that had come into that church. I was a brand new person. Amen. The second thing that the banner signifies, what ground you occupy. Amen. And if many people in the churches today have a problem identifying who they are, they even have a greater problem identifying what ground they occupy. Hallelujah. But I know where I am. Hallelujah. I know, hallelujah, where God put my feet. He put them on the rock. I'm occupying the rock. Hallelujah. And the banner signifies, amen, not only who you are, but what ground you occupy. It also, the third thing, the banner signifies, amen, which direction you are going. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that we don't stand still in this Christian walk? Amen. It's a constant thing. Anything that's alive is growing and multiplying, or it is dying. If you're not as close to God right now and if you have ever been in your Christian walk, then you are in some form of backsliding. Amen. Let me repeat that. If you're not as close to God as now, right now, today, this morning, in your Christian walk with God, amen, then you are in some form of backsliding. Backsliding simply means drawing back from God. And if you were once farther along than you are now, you are backsliding. Amen. Let me just put it. You all talk Oklahoman out here, don't you? Amen. The fourth thing that the yoke, that the banner signifies, that you're undefeated. Amen. I want to describe, amen, some 7,000 to 8,000 years ago when Isaiah, by the power of the Holy Ghost, penned these words, amen, of what they required of the standard bearer. Amen. When they went into battle, it wasn't long-range cruise missiles. It wasn't something that was done on radar or long-range communication of some sort. But you looked them eyeball to eyeball. Amen. You fought them face to face. Amen. And in the midst of battle, when people were dying, amen, and the swords were flashing, and the spears, amen, were flying, and the clubs were coming, and the axes, amen, were removing limbs from the enemy. You didn't have time to look around you and to holler out to the first sergeant, hey, are we still winning? Should we go on? Or is it time to quit? Are we still in the battle? Amen. Hallelujah. But you only had time to look around for one thing. Is the banner still flying? Is it still up? Hallelujah. Is it still there? Amen. And if it was, you knew that all was not lost. Hallelujah. Fight on, brother. The banner still flies. Hallelujah. They didn't pick the littlest guy, the worst guy that flunked out of boot camp, amen, to hold the banner. They wanted the burliest, the meanest, the toughest, the best soldier, the bravest that they had. And they didn't put a spear in his hand. They didn't put a lance in his hand. Amen. They didn't even give him a shield. But they gave him a little stick. And on the top of that stick was a banner that identified them. Hallelujah. Amen. Because at any cost, at any price, you had to have the banner high and lifted up. Hallelujah. That you could turn and see in the midst of the conflict. Fight on! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the 10th chapter, amen, along about the 18th verse of Isaiah, amen, the Holy Ghost, Isaiah is prophesying, amen, of not only what the captivity is going to be, but he's also prophesying, amen, of what the deliverance is going to be. And he said that in one day, as thorns and as briars that are removed, amen, this great and terrible day of the deliverance of the children of Israel, amen, and the destruction of the Syrians. It said that indicated, amen, in this verse, that the terror, that it's going to be so profound, it's going to be like as when the standard bearer fainteth. Hallelujah. at any cost, set forth a description and use, amen, of the standard was that it must be kept blind. Hallelujah. If God is not sick and if God hasn't died, then neither has the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He didn't say that there's going to be a banner, amen, raised up of our denomination, of our fellowship, of our theology, of our philosophy, of religion, but he said the Holy Ghost is going to raise up a standard. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The standard did not just identify you, but it signified the power and the authority that was behind the banner. Now, in today's modern equivalency, the banner, as signified there, can best be described as the flag of a country. Amen. Not the pennant. Amen. Not the pennant of a small company of military people. But its significance in today's language would be the flag. February the 23rd in 1945, a man by the name of Joseph Rosenthal took a picture, one snapshot. He was employed by the Associated Press, and later that year he won the Pulitzer Prize for taking one photograph. And this photograph was flashed in all the news media and all the papers and all the magazines, periodicals around the world. All the was spoken of and described in all the radio broadcasts. It was a 6 United States Marines on a little knoll, a little rise of ground called Mount Suribachi, that they raised the stars and stripes of the United States of America. February the 23rd, 1945. Oh, hallelujah. And it electrified the free world. And it electrified the citizens of this country. The meaning of that flag has changed in many hearts and many lives. It's become a symbol of shame to some, disrespect. It's been trampled on. It's been spit upon. It's been burned. And right here in our own country, by the youth and sometimes the elders of this very land that we live on, in has watched that flag go down the street waving. They didn't feel a chill. They didn't feel a thrill in the heart. Maybe they were talking to somebody else. It just didn't mean anything to them. But I want you to know today, amen, that I still believe, amen, that when I see that flag, I live in another country. I am a resident of that country. I am not a citizen of that country. I have 4 granddaughters that were born in Honduras. They are dual citizens. Amen. But they are not citizens of that country. Hallelujah. I am a citizen of the United States of America. Hallelujah. And when I see the flag, amen, no matter what esteem it is held in by the people, many of them in this country, amen, I still feel the little men running up and down my spine. I still feel the hair on the back of my head. I get all tingly and I get excited. Miss Sir, I want you to know something. It signifies something. I don't care what the political condition is. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a political person as far as names. You say, are you a Democrat? No. You a Republican? No. You an independent? No, I'm a Christian. That's a party I preach. Now, I'm not saying that any of that bunch are Christians. My, if you believe that, I got another bridge I'll sell you. Amen. And so we are choosing, and there's a great difference, and I'm not going any farther than that, in the lesser of evils. But don't you for one minute think that we are placing a man of God, no matter who he is, in the public eye as head of this nation. Let me say something before I go on. I got a lot of things to say, and I want you to get you out there for the turkey and the dressing. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's not going to matter a whole lot in one sense. I think that we should fight and battle. Amen. For the best man, the better man to be in. I think there's no question of that. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you a little thing. This is out of the book of Jake Sumner, chapter 1, verse 1. This saying overall is not going to get any better. Amen. We're going to have little ups, but the trend is down. Amen. And so we fight for the little ups. Amen. But the thing that my ultimate fight is for and the battle is for is not to hear, amen, the sound of the polling booth here on this earth opened up, but to hear a trump sounding, amen, in my ear, and to know that we win, and that my party, hallelujah, has emerged victorious. Like somebody said, I've looked at the book, and I see how this thing is ended. Amen. February the 23rd, a picture, amen, of those six United States Marines, but it doesn't go back from that. Amen. Like Paul Harvey used to say, there's a rest of the story. 4 days before that, on this little island called Iwo Jima. Amen. Iwo Jima in Japanese means sulfur. This is a prime and main ingredient, amen, of brimstone. Amen. And on that day of the 19th of February, there was going to be a literal hell on the sand of that beach. Over 6,000 Marines of the United States Marine Corps out of the 2nd and 3rd Division, amen, were to hit that beach. Amen. No loading boats behind them. Nothing to turn back to. Nothing but the enemy ahead. Amen. For 4 days they fought. Over 2,000 of them died on the sands of Iwo Jima. Amen. And many more of them were desperately and critically wounded in that same fight. This began 4 days before on the 19th of February. I want you to know something today. Amen. It wasn't six Marines that were raising that flag of old glory on Mount Suribachi. Amen. But it was the blood that was shed on the beaches, on the sand of that little island, 2.5 miles wide and 5 miles long, that was raising the flag. Mister, my Bible tells me that Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from this earth, I'm going to draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have a banner. The Holy Ghost is going to raise up a banner. Amen. What's a banner? The banner is going to be a Jesus Christ. I know this was a law of double reference. Amen. He was speaking of the cross. But that wasn't all that he was speaking of. Amen. He was speaking of that if we lift him up, he's going to draw all men unto him. Amen. Quite frankly, the world's not interested in you and I. Amen. The world is not interested in Abundant Life Tabernacle. Amen. The world is not interested in our mission outreach in the Honduras, Central America. The world's not hungry for that. They don't know what they're hungry for, but I do. Amen. I know what they're hungry for. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from this earth, will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. The banner. What are you talking about, Brother Sumner? I'm talking about the banner of the Holy Ghost. He's going to raise up a banner. Amen. Whose name is Jesus. Now, before they had the assault at Iwo Jima, it was planned out ahead. They weren't simply sailing down the corridors of the South Pacific and says, hey, there's an island. Load up, boys. We're going to let them have it, whoever's on there. They know who the enemy was. And they knew what their goal was. Now keep this in mind. They were attacking. They were not defending. Amen. They were attacking. It was planned out ahead. The knowledge who the enemy was. Amen. And what the goal was. Mister, when the Holy Ghost raises up a standard, amen, and we go into battle, our mission, amen, in this world, amen, is to establish a beachhead. Hallelujah. I'm not much for these words, foreign mission and home mission and this kind of mission and that kind of mission. I said, I made a statement. I made it 2 or 3 times since then, but not over that. I should have said it 1,000 times since then. But in Brother Hampton's church years ago, I said the church cannot have a mission program. They must be a mission program. Hallelujah. When God saved you, filled you with the Holy Ghost, put your feet on the rock, amen, then He sent you forth, amen, to win the lost. You tell me any other reason on the face of this earth or in this Bible for you to remain here after you're saved other than to reproduce spiritually, amen, into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We have, and we are all called to set a beachhead. Amen. In the 16th chapter of the book of John, Matthew, beginning in the 13th verse, Jesus asked something. Amen. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Amen. And His disciples answered Him, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, others say that thou art Jeremiah, or Elias, or one of the prophets. Amen. One of those good old Pentecostal wishy-washy answers. Amen. Cover all bases. How do you baptize? Oh, I just stick up a list. Amen. How do you pray? Just stick it to the wall. There's a list. God, you read it. I'm going to bed. Hallelujah. Something did you safe and secure for everything. Hallelujah. But Peter answered. Oh, I'd like to preach about Peter. Amen. Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And He said, and thou art Peter, the pebble. Amen. Thou art Peter, but upon this rock, the boulder, I'm going to build my church. Hallelujah. Upon this knowledge, upon this confession, upon this realization. Amen. That Jesus Christ is the only name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And then He went on to say something. And this is what I want you to remember more than anything else. The next thing that Jesus said, He said, and the gates, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. You know, sometimes we read God's word wishy-washy too. Amen. More wishy than washy. Amen. And we just don't really pray over it. It's a spiritual book. Amen. You're not going to decipher it. Amen. With a bunch of modernistic, worldly, kind of theologians. Amen. In the seminaries and the cemeteries or whatever hell. Amen. I have no fuss with anybody. Go on, just don't put me in hell because I won't. Hallelujah. Amen. But anyhow, amen. You know, one of the things, let me go on. Hallelujah. He said something after that. He said, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'd read this for years and never really thought about it, never really prayed about it. Amen. And I had just an instant impression. Well, first time that I read this and the times after is here we are. We're in prison. Amen. We're behind the bars. Oh, hallelujah. But God is going to get us out. The church is going to get us out. That's not what it says at all. We're on the wrong side of the gate. Hallelujah. You'll not not find this in your Bible, but let me give you another thing out of 1 Jake Sumner, chapter 1 and verse 2. Amen. I believe that when Jesus uttered those words, "It is finished," I believe that a jubilee broke out in hell. I can't give you the scripture and I can't give you the verse, but I know if I'd have been the devil, that's what I'd have been doing. Amen. They caught the words. "It is finished." And they thought they had it. Hallelujah. They say you can't have a 3-day revival anymore. Amen. Jesus did. Amen. Up to that time. Amen. Up to that time. Amen. Paradise was always spoken of as down. And you know, I'm just simple enough to believe, amen, that there is still a literal place in the middle of this earth. Huh? Will you kind of kid me along and humor me a little bit? Hallelujah. Amen. On one side is the burning hell. And I think it's still there. And it may be a spiritual soul that goes there, but I think it'll make you say ouch and a whole lot more. Amen. If you even got a hand inside. There's a great abyss in between. On the other side is the bosom of Abraham. But Abraham's not there anymore. Hallelujah. Because they had a 3-day revival. Amen. I believe the first thing that opened the revival, amen, it was when Jesus Christ, and I believe it with all my heart, when he comes striding up to the gates of hell, amen, and clenched the bars with a nail-scarred hand and said, "I've come for the keys of death and hell, and on the other side of the great abyss that no man could cross over. But I don't care what Kenneth Copeland said on a CD tape, amen. It doesn't matter. Jesus did not have to ask permission to come to this world. He doesn't have to get permission from the devil, amen. But he stood on the balcony of eternity with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and spoke this universe into existence. Jesus created Lucifer. The God. Oh, you say, how do you separate and work out the Godhead? I don't know. I just know it's true. I don't understand it, neither do you. I don't think. Amen. We've got a finite mind. We don't even believe we're going to die. That's right. Oh, yeah. Our intelligence says. Our experience says. Amen. Amen, Brother Gibbs. It says someday I'm going to die. And I'm going to be laying in a coffin. And my spirit and soul is no longer going to be in that earthly tabernacle. We can say it. Our intelligence tells us it's going to happen. Amen. But down deep inside of you is a survival mechanism. It is part of the way that God created you. We don't always use everything. Hey man, it's not meant to avoid eternity. It is more meant to be self-protection. Amen. Survival. Amen. And it says it takes some, my soul down inside of me, my heart says, I will never die. I know I will if the Lord doesn't come first. I know that. But I can't see it. Huh? Let me ask you something, you theologians. God has always been. In a constant torment and agony. And they are no closer. It will never end. I can't imagine. I cannot comprehend eternity. I can't comprehend it. I know it. Intellectually, I can describe it. But I can't understand it. And I cannot understand that my Father, my Savior, my Holy Ghost, hallelujah, has always existed, never had a start. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. I was in hell. No, I was on Abraham's side. Hallelujah. Jesus preached a 3-day revival. After that, when he delivered the saints, amen, to the third heavens, paradise was never spoken of as down again. Hallelujah. Agree with me? Disagree with me. Just say amen once in a while. Let me know I'm hitting something. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, Jesus arose, overcome. Amen. Now, Satan, God, let me start with the Lord first. Amen. God has three attributes. He's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient. Amen. Now, for us to have a successful beachhead, we must know who the enemy is. And the enemy is not somebody that hurts you in a church. The enemy is not somebody that slighted you somewhere. The enemy is not old Slewfoot or the booger man. My little granddaughter, the only reason I really tolerate him because they can get away with just about anything as long as it's all right with God. And they sang, the devil is a sly old fox. He's not a fox. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's after one thing. He is your enemy. He is out not to just do you harm. He's not out to just give you a cancer. He's not out to just give you high blood pressure. He's not out just to wreck the family car and put the family in the hospital. He's out to destroy your eternal soul. Amen. He is doomed. I don't believe that he recognizes fully. He knows, just like the intellectual ability we have to recognize that we're going to die. But to actually see us dead, I'll never see me dead until I'm dead. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe it's the same thing with Satan. Amen. He'll never recognize that he is beaten until, amen, that the devil and death and hell, amen, and the is cast into the lake of fire. I don't believe until that point that he will actually ever admit to anybody that he is defeated or will be defeated. Amen. Hallelujah. Believe with all my heart. A lot of people don't believe in heaven, brought out so masterfully by Brother Hampton the other night. Amen. Not a lot of people in the church believe in heaven or hell or the devil. They believe more in heaven and they believe more in God because they got a hope to go. Amen. But listen to me. If you actually believed, and I actually totally believed in an eternal hell that will never cease in its agony. And where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Amen. If we fully comprehend that, we would be on our face daily before God, agonizing for a lost and a dying world. Amen. Over 6 billion people alive in this world today. The mathematicians tell us that if we use the common estimate of when the Garden of Eden was, amen, and Adam and Eve, that there are probably more people alive today than have ever died before since Adam and Eve. Amen. I don't know how accurate that is, but I believe it could be worked out pretty well. Amen. And you know, you can 1,000, if you say 1,000, it's 1,000. 1,001, 1,002, that's a very accurate way of measuring the length of 1 second. Amen. And you know that every second, something over 2 people die. Amen. And over 4 children are born. Amen. Into this world, into this population. I was listening to a preacher in Guatemala, no, in Honduras, that was come over from Guatemala. Amen. I rambled around and held campaigns and built churches throughout Central America and Mexico, and I have a more than a passing acquaintance with him. And he stood behind that pulpit, not in our church, amen, and he said that 98% of all the people in Guatemala were saved. I wanted to jump up and say, you're a liar! Amen. When it's reality, far less than 1% are really saved. I believe that with all my heart. Far less than 1% are really saved. Amen. Far more than 75% of the people that live in Honduras. We have over 6 million people population, not near as big as the United States. Over 6 million people. Far over 75% living together, husband and wife, in that form, children. Many of them are in their second, third, and fourth, so-called fifth. I've known of up to 7 situations where they were like being divorced and remarried. The only thing was, they were never married. Father's Day is ignored in many Latin countries, especially Honduras, because most people don't know who their father is. Mother's Day is a big thing. Amen. They knew who mother was, but they didn't know who father was. Amen. We have the greatest incidence per capita of AIDS of any place in the Western Hemisphere. They say, the textbook says, we're the poorest country in all of Central America. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's true. I would say Belize was, but if not, we're neck and neck with Honduras is with Belize. Amen. A country, I want to tell you something. We go to establish a beachhead. Now the motivation is simply one thing. The only thing that signifies foreign missions, home missions, church missions, missions here, amen, in this community, in Germantown, or anywhere else, is where does God want you to be? That's all. Nothing else enters into it. Amen. And we go not because they're little brown skin or yellow skin, amen, or black skin or white skin. Because the first time somebody spit in your face, amen, the first time somebody stole your wallet while you were praying for them, the first time that somebody stole from the mutilated body of a friend of yours, amen, before help could even get to him, then you would hate those people. You would be against sin. You would lose any burden of a call that you ever had. Amen. You don't go because you feel sorry for somebody, because you heard the hard luck and the poor me story. Amen. But you go because God gives you a compassion. Amen, for a lost and dying world. And another thing, if you don't have that compassion here in Germantown, you're not going to have it on the other side of the world. Amen. You can't make it here, go be a missionary. You can't preach, go be a missionary. You can't get any help, go be a missionary. Oh, God delivers. Amen. They recognize, gotta look at my clock. They recognize, amen, who the enemy was. To them, it was the forces, the armed forces of Japan. To us, it's the devil. Now, I said the three attributes of God was he's omnipotent, he has all power. He's omniscient, he's everywhere at the same time. And he's omnipresent. I got that turned around. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Amen. Now, these are attributes that describe God. They do not describe the devil. I don't know, and I don't believe you know, the limitations, whatever they are, that Satan has. Amen. I've had people ask me, I had this happen a while back, and I heard this years ago. Somebody said, you think? Yeah, just somebody, they didn't want to pick. Get you to, do you believe this? Do you believe that? Do you? What do you think about? And they bring up these things. Can God create a rock so big he can't lift it? I don't even have time to waste my energies. I don't have time to waste my energy on somebody who's committed to false theology. If they're committed, I don't have time for them. Where's you at? Too many people hungry to hear. Amen. We don't know the limitations of what Satan are. We know he's powerful. We know that. Under here, I have a free Bible course that I give. Because free, it just takes 5 seconds to give it. If you get a chance, say something against the devil and for Jesus. And when you've done that, you've said it all. Amen. You've said it all. Hallelujah. So we don't know. Somebody comes into church and says, oh, yeah. We're a great one for giving praise. Oh, you got an opportunity. Hey, you're preaching tonight, right? You got an opportunity. Pentecostal praise. Amen. Somebody comes in. Sometimes they're praising the devil more than they praise anybody else. Amen. They come rolling in here. Amen. They say, oh, you know, they stand a testify. A testimony service. Too many times a testimony service is a tattletale service. Oh, we need to pray for so-and-so. And then they unload on you. Oh, they want to tell how the devil been running them up one side and down the other. I like Brother B.P. Carroll said, hey, man, he said a woman told him, said, the devil's been after me all week. He said, I know it, sister. Said, he pulled all the hair off your head and he chews all the sleeves off your dress. I can see that he's been after you all week.
Well, I guess I better get back on track. Quit chasing rabbits.
Hallelujah. Oh, and stand up. Oh, the devil's been after me. You're waiting here praying. Oh, let him say something about how Jesus has blessed him and how the Holy Ghost has raised up a standard. Oh, God. And you're waiting and you're waiting. And all you're hearing is, oh, the devil's been after me. The devil has done this. And the devil has done that. And then they'll insert a praise his holy name. You don't know whether they're talking about the devil or the Lord. Amen. And then they come to the altar. And they get part of that Pentecostal power. And they feel like the 7 feet tall and they can whoop any devil. Amen. And they go out. You know, let me say this. The devil can't be anywhere at the same time. He's not omnipresent. Now you work this out. Don't come fussing with me. Amen. Amen. But if he can't be everywhere at the same time, how many places can he be at the same time? And I had just a great suspicion that most people that say the devil's been after me all week, that the devil hasn't been within a country mile of him. What's he going to waste his time for? Huh? He's got some little third-rate demon. Amen. Dude, he'll send out to badger somebody's not doing anything. Anyhow, he's just playing a holding service, just keeping them in position, in holding pattern until the trumpet of God sounds and they miss. Somebody comes into church. Amen. They need help. And so many times that we, which have not received that power, that purity of Pentecost, too many times we'll go up and we're trying to cast the devil out of somebody that simply needs to be healed. They need deliverance. The devil has come and attacked them and they need a healing and they need a deliverance and we're laying hands on them to cast the devil out of them. Amen. And the same people will turn around and let a devil come walking in. Amen. Residing or a demon in somebody and sit down on the pew and they'll sit down beside them, throw their arm around them and call them brother and sister, not discerning the difference between them. Hallelujah. But I want you to know something. Amen. We have an enemy that is real and he is who we are to go after. Hallelujah. But I praise God. 1 John 4:4 that was quoted last night. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know how many people did the devil personally can badger at one time. But I like to picture it this way. And maybe he doesn't have anything like this. But I can explain it this way. If the devil has a blackboard in hell, I hope someday I get my name on it. That I get my name on it. Amen. Amen. We, the gates of hell, is not a thing to keep you in. We are not reactionaries. We are not to wait until the devil acts and we react. Amen. We are not in hell. We are not behind the bars. But he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. We're not trying to burst out. I came out of hell. Amen. That day I knelt down at an old-fashioned altar of repentance and cried and wept my way through to an old-fashioned salvation. Hallelujah. That was when I came out of my hell. Amen. Eternal death. Amen. Amen. But Jesus, amen, paid the price. Hallelujah. That I might have life. Hallelujah. And that I might go to a better place. Hallelujah. And that gate has already been brought. The gate, amen, that we are to come is the gate that Satan puts around the sickness, the problem, the lost loved ones. Amen. The people on the job that are bound by hell forces. Amen. But those gates cannot prevail against the church of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Horrible. Hallelujah. I want to ask you to stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not in an audible voice. It was an audible voice, but I doubt it. It was Satan. But a demon told me in an audible voice, he's going to kill me. And I always felt like that it was, I've always said it's Satan. And this worried me for some time. But then I realized that Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, I had me a devil thumping time when God finally got me slowed down enough to speak to my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. James 4 and 7, and I'm closing with this, says, submit yourself. We like to say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We know he goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not a roaring lion, but as a roaring lion. And so we like to stand up in all of our enthusiasm. I'm the devil can't, and he wasn't there, and he. But so many times we're just not prepared to stand. Because the first prerequisite before resisting the devil for him to flee from you is to submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then you resist the devil. I've had people ask me about their call. What should they do? The husband's lost, and he's got a call. This and that and that. I tell them, I said, don't worry about calls. Don't worry about calls. I believe in goals, but not in your not in your walk for what God has for you. No goals. In this sense. Anyway. And this is always my advice. I could make it a rubber stamp. You concentrate on doing your best to live for God, to walk with God, to please God. Every day. And out of that will come any walk that God has for you. Any walk that God has for you will come out of that foundation. Pray, please, for Honduras. We are to love the sinner and hate the sin. God does. God is the God of love. And because He is the God of love, He hates sin. Hallelujah. Father, help us to realize who we are. The power, the purity, the praise of Pentecost. God, to go forth to establish a beachhead. Holding up the banner of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. Amen.
appreciate that word this morning. Amen. Let's just lift our hands.